In your Bibles this morning, I draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'd like to conclude these brief series of messages on the subject of love. And I trust that God is stirring our hearts in this subject matter. Looking forward to having Brother Fox with us all day next Sunday. So he'll be teaching and preaching in the Sunday school hour, the preaching service, both morning and evening. Pray for Brother Byron as he comes. He lives near Newport News, Virginia, and will be traveling up early Sunday morning. And so he'll get here, and we'll be able to hear him preach and sing and minister to us as well. He'll be working with our choir for a little bit also, and we thank the Lord for raising him up, and he's been a friend of our church for many years now. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, I'd like to read one verse as we begin. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." The churches of Macedonia had been giving to the churches in Jerusalem in order to help them through a time of struggle financially. And Paul had challenged the church at Corinth to do likewise, to be able to get involved in being concerning for those who are struggling during a time of poverty, brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And he's calling upon them in Corinth to make a faith offering to God through their church that might be given to Paul so he could take it to the believers in Jerusalem. And they have been delayed in their giving. They just perhaps were struggling a little bit with faith. They were not quickly responding to the need that was there. And so Paul comes in chapter 8 and chapters 9 of 2 Corinthians to challenge them anew and afresh to do something about that promise, about that commitment that they had made, and to follow through on it. And Paul says here in verse 8, he said, "I want you to do this because not only did you commit to it," but he says to them that it's going to be a way in which you are going to prove the sincerity of your love. You're going to have the opportunity to show love toward others by following through on your commitment. And we have been seeing the last couple of weeks that Jesus gave us this 11th commandment, we called it. The 11th commandment found in John 13:34, which says that it's a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love another. And this is the kind of love, as we saw last Sunday, that can only be generated by the work of the indwelling Spirit of God that's within us. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so as we yield to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God creates love and joy and peace and gentleness and so forth. That fruit of the Spirit comes and enables us to then demonstrate the love of God to others. And Paul says, "I want you to do something with this love that you have demonstrated before. You talked about it. You expressed a desire to display the love," which love is a giving. It's a verb. It's an action word. And you talked about giving in an action way. But yet, he says, you still have yet to follow through. And it's only by following through that you're going to be able to prove to yourself and prove to others that your love is sincere. Remember last week we talked about Romans 12:9, where it says there that love is to be without dissimulation. It is to be without hypocrisy. It is to be genuine, and it's not to be a counterfeit. It's supposed to be real, because that's only kind of love the Holy Spirit can generate in our lives, is to generate love that is real. And so Paul says, for you to know this real love that is in your heart, it's got to be displayed. Let's put it forth out there. Let's do something with it. Let's follow through on your promise to give to the believers at Jerusalem. And as a result, you'll be proving the sincerity of your love. And my friends, the kind of love that God describes in His Word is a love that the world that we live in, by and large, doesn't comprehend, doesn't connect with. Number one, they don't know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't know the love of the Holy Spirit of God, and they don't know the love that the Bible describes for us. And so sometimes as we seek as God's people in this world that we live in to demonstrate this kind of love toward others, it can be somewhat tiresome for us to live under the realm of that love that's giving all the time. It can be kind of challenging. Perhaps we become weary in the process. It seems as though no one understands it. There's some times when people don't appreciate it. But that doesn't change the fact that we are to be demonstrating and proving the sincerity of our love. I think the Apostle Paul himself, later in this same letter, he would say in chapter 12 and verse 15 that he was being spent for the believers at Corinth. And he says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That'd be hard. The more you give, the more you give, the more you're demonstrating love, even toward Christian people, which is what he's talking about here. It seems as though the love is not being returned. That can be kind of wearisome on a person who is not keeping filled for the Holy Spirit of God. And so it doesn't sound too appealing. If this is the kind of love that I'm supposed to demonstrate and I don't receive it in return, that can be a challenge in and of itself. Paul faced it. The Lord Jesus faced it. You know, God so loved the world, but he came unto his own. His own received him not. The heartache that must have come to the Savior. As our Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, he had times when there were multitudes of disciples gathered around him. But toward the end of his ministry, they went away. And even the apostles toward the end, right before his crucifixion, they followed him in a distance. They followed him afar off. The more I love, the less I be loved. And yet Paul says, as we are seeking to be empowered by the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of the Lord take up residency and power in our life, shedding abroad this love in our lives is the love that I'm able to continue to display, and I'm able therefore to prove the sincerity of our love. And he is the implication here is, in verse number 8, is that he wants them to come back under the authority of the Spirit of God and under the authority of the Word of God, so that this love that they are to be displaying, this action, a word that puts the needs of others before themselves, is going to be met. The world that we live in, you know, when they talk about proving your love, they say, if you love me, you will, and fill in the blank. If you love me, you know, you will be immoral. If you love me, you will help me rob the bank. If you love me, you know, and you just fill in the blank there, you will do whatever I ask you to do. You know, they put that little condition out there, but they want you to be involved in something that is not proper. But God says it a different way. He says, if you love me, you're going to be demonstrating the things that I demonstrate. For example, if you go back to chapter 2 of this book, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Timothy, yeah. Keep loving me, okay? Keep loving me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse number 4, Paul says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. So he's writing about the time when he had written previously to rebuke them. Rebuke them over what? Well, in this case, he's talking about rebuking them over their delay in forgiving an erring brother that is in the church. If we were to take the time, we could go back to 1 Corinthians 5, and Paul tells about a brother in the church that was involved in immorality. And he was to be disciplined by the church. He was to be rebuked and corrected and so forth. And so that took place. And then we get to 2 Corinthians. They are still having a struggle with receiving him back after he had repented and gotten right with God and gotten right with himself. And Paul says, I've been writing about you, but I'm kind of grieved about your delay and this love that I'm asking you to display toward this brother. If you skip down to verse number 7, he says, you ought rather to do what? Forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Now here's a brother, as I said, that it was committed great and heinous immorality against God and against the church, and he had gotten right with the Lord. And Paul says, rather than keeping him at arm's length, but contrarywise, but rather to forgive him. And love demands that you forgive him, as he says in verse 8. You confirm your love toward him. So when we think about this matter of proving the sincerity of our love, we find that Paul says here, one of the ways that we do that is being a person of love that enables us to forgive others. To forgive others, to release others from the debt that they owe through their sin against you personally or against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You prove or you confirm the fact that you do love this person because you're willing to release them from their obligation of their sin. It's been forgiven. It's been forgiven. It's been put away. Doesn't the Bible tell us that in Ephesians 4 that we are to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13 says that we are to forbear one another and forgiving one another. What enables us to do that? And sometimes it's difficult to do what he's asking us to do here. But it comes when the Spirit of God has that control and is filling us and shedding abroad this love in our hearts toward others that enables us to forgive even as our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us. And he has forgiven us of all kinds of sin. And we learned in Sunday school this morning that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He continually does that. He continually forgives. And he is quick to do so. And God would have us to prove the sincerity of our love by forgiving others. No doubt, we will be offensive sometimes to one another, or we'll sometimes do something that we shouldn't have done, and we need somebody's forgiveness. And we're glad when they give it to us, aren't we? We're glad that when we freely receive forgiveness from others. But look also in John chapter 14 for a moment. John chapter 14, because Jesus then tells us something here about this matter of love that can be proved by the way that we respond to him. In John chapter 14 and verse 23. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if, there's that conditional word again, preposition, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So he tells us that love is something that obeys. Love is proven. Love is confirmed by deeds and actions and comes forth from a heart of love because you love the Lord Jesus. If you love me. If you love me, you keep my words, keep my commandments. This is a way to demonstrate that we are indeed having the Spirit of God control our thoughts and words and deeds and our actions that lead us to love others, and in this case, to love the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a word from the Lord Jesus here in the entire book of God. This is his commandments that are here. And one of those commandments is that we are to love one another. Even as he has loved us. And so that is a proof, a demonstration of our love. We have seen thus far in this study that we have the opportunity as God's people, as we demonstrate love toward others, to be kindly, affectionate one to another, to bear one another's burdens. We all have burdens that need some help along the way. to bear one another's burdens, to be kind toward others, to be able to help people to carry their load. We are to have the same care one for another, to pray for one another, to love one another, to not have a grudge one toward another. The idea of having a grudge toward a person is to keep score. You've never done that before. Probably not. I know I have. You know, you keep score. And God says, let's not do that. Let's not keep score. In fact, if you've forgiven somebody, then even if they've done the same thing before, you've already released them from that obligation of that sin. And now it's like they're sinning again, but you still forgive them again. That's the wonderful thing about the Word of the Lord. The Bible works. The Bible works. And when people respond to the Bible and obey the Scriptures, it works. And so we say, Lord, help me not to keep score, but rather to forgive others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, there's a brief outline, if I can call it that, a brief outline there of what happens in the life of a believer who is seeking to prove love in these ways. And it really does something for our relationship with the Almighty. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 11, the Bible says, finally, brethren, farewell. Coming to the conclusion of this letter, and he says, be perfect, be mature, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Well, that's a great incentive. Amen? Great incentive here when he says, here you are practicing biblical love. You're maturing through this process of developing the love of the Spirit of God. And as a result, there's comfort that comes from that love. There is one-mindedness. There's unity in the body of believers. There is peacefulness and harmony that exists. There's unity there. And he says, when those kind of conditions exist, the God of heaven comes and he dwells amongst us in additional love and peace. Oh, we need that kind of realization. To be able to be a light to a world that lies in confusion and chaos and do not know really what love is. And they could find in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ a refuge, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, and God Almighty has come and granted us His peace and love in this place. Praise the Lord what God could do when His love is being put on display by the people who are proving the sincerity of His love. Go over to Galatians for a moment. Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we find in Galatians 5 that there are some hindrances to the love that God wants us to know. And there's some incentives here that he speaks about also. And so we not only prove the sincerity of our love, but then we are able to produce fruit, and all kinds of fruit in love as well. You're familiar with the passage of Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, when it speaks there about the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and so forth. And we're going to look at those in just a moment. But he says here that this matter of producing fruit is a part of what the love of God is able to do in our lives. Someone has said it this way, that the true meaning of love is sharing and caring and giving and forgiving, loving and being loved, talking heart to heart, seeing through each other's eyes, serving together, worshiping together, praying together, rejoicing together, weeping together, edifying together and one another, being unselfish one with another, putting others for ourselves. For God's love that is shared is a beautiful thing. It enriches the soul and makes the heart sing. Amen and amen. But Paul says, wait a minute, as you seek to develop this love, be careful about some things. He says, be careful in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the flesh. about the fruit of the flesh. He speaks about verse 13, use not, only, for brethren, you have not been, you have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. And your neighbor is everyone in this building. Everyone is your neighbor. We're called upon to obey the commandment to love one another. On the other hand, it's possible if we get into the flesh, verse 16. But then back in verse 15 it says, but if you bite and devour one another. Isn't that an interesting terminology? He's figuratively speaking how that when there's conflict with the brothers and sisters in the church, he says it's as though you're biting one another and seeking devouring one another and spitting one another out. In fact, to get to the point, Paul says, where it can come to where you're consuming one of another. And if you're consuming one of another, you have nothing left. You have nothing left. The church can be destroyed if there's a lack of love and people get into the flesh and exercise the flesh rather than exercising the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, instead, let's go ahead and be sure that we walk daily in the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if you're walking in the flesh, verse 17 says, you're going to be doing what? Not doing the things that you ought to be doing. Not going to be doing the things that you ought to be doing. And so there's fleshly appetites, fleshly demonstrations in our life are going to harm and hurt and possibly destroy relationships. When he speaks about the works of the flesh in verse 19, beginning with adultery and fornication and uncleanness, you can be sure they are going to ruin not only a reputation, but a relationship. And so he says, let's be sure that we avoid walking in the flesh so that we are not going to harm loving relationships. But when we seek the presence of the Spirit of God, when we seek and say, oh God, I want to walk in the Spirit so that this fruit of the Spirit, which is love, comes upon me. And these are going to be demonstrations of my love toward others because I'm going to be joyful and peaceful and long-suffering and gentle and good and so forth. I like what Beneth Jones writes when she says, joy is love singing, peace is love resting, long-suffering is love enduring. Love enduring graciously. Gentleness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Meekness is love's self-forgetfulness. Temperance is the Holy Spirit's control. It's love holding the reins. It's love holding the reins. Someone else said that joy is love's strength and peace is love's security. Long-suffering is love's patience. Gentleness is love's conduct. Goodness is love's character. Faith is love's confidence. Meekness is love's humility. And temperance is love's victory. Who wouldn't want that kind of experience? Who wouldn't want to know love in this matter that's being displayed as the fruit of the Spirit and all the fruit that is displayed there and written about in verses 22 and 23? And to think that love is able to have victory over hate and over enmity and over temptation and over strife and over conflict. Every conflict that can occur in a relationship because of the works of the flesh can be overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit as He demonstrates love through us. And so Paul says, hey, let's prove your love. Okay, let's prove your love. And he says, let's go ahead and ask God to produce that fruit that comes because of the love that is generated by the Spirit of God in your life. In fact, one step further, he says, let's go ahead and be sure that we pray for this kind of love. Let's be sure that we pray for this kind of love. Let me conclude by drawing your attention to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Someone says this morning, with this matter of love, I don't know if I could ever receive it. I don't know if I could ever come to the place where I know the fullness of the Spirit of God to the point to where that fruit is produced, where I follow through on forgiving someone like God forgives, and so forth. And these things are being demonstrated in my life. I don't know if I could ever come to that place. As long as you have a beating heart, you can come to that place. You can come to that place. Nothing is impossible with the God of heaven that dwells in you by the work of His Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible as we take the word of the sovereign God and apply it into our hearts and lives and say, oh God, help me to be a one who is a doer of the word and not hearer only. And certainly that involves this matter of biblical love. And Lord, if I'm struggling with this kind of love, as I'm sure we all have from time to time, and maybe even this morning are, He said, let's do this with this matter. Let's look at Colossians 2 and do this. Verse number 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as not seen my face in the flesh. And so here's Paul wanting to be there with the church at Colossae. And he says that their hearts, I want to come so that their hearts would be comforted. I want them to be able to know that their hearts are comforted, being knit together in, what's the word?
Love.
Yeah, in love. And knit together into love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. We could say, my friends, that this is Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. He's praying that they would be comforted, and he's praying that their hearts would be knit together in love. Isn't that a wonderful expression? Knit together. I know nothing about crocheting or those kind of things, knitting, nothing at all. I remember years and years ago seeing, back when I was a kid, a football player by the name of Merlin Olsen, big old lineman for the Los Angeles Rams, huge guy, used to play on Little House of the Prairie, big guy, I don't know what season it was, but he played on Little House of the Prairie after his football season. But I remember he came out and another guy from Chicago Bears, big burly fella, I can't remember his name, but the couple of them came out talking about that the fact that they knitted for relaxation, and they crocheted for relaxation. And you're not about to give those big huge guys a hard time about it, are you? And so Paul uses this wonderful expression of what he's praying about for the church here, what we can pray about for the church here, and pray about for our relationships with others and with our church family as well. And say, God, would you do such a work that you could bring us together in a stronger way, in a more powerful way, knitted together? And I'm sure all of us have seen something that has been knitted to become something that is unraveling. And once the unraveling starts, it does not stop. You just keep pulling it, pulling it, and all of a sudden you have a pile of yarn on the floor. And it's nothing. It's nothing. It went from being a beautiful sweater to nothing. And Paul says, I want you to be sure that you protect the integrity of the Lord's church and the unity there and the love there by praying for God to knit your hearts together in the love that He has for you, and you can have one toward another. God can do this. God can bring us closer together, bind us together, knit us together, and be able to say, like the songwriter wrote, blessed be the tie that binds. And we're going to sing that. We're going to sing it. It's 570 in your songbook. 570. And so Paul says, I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. I want you to walk in the Spirit of God so that the fruit of that love is demonstrated in your heart and life toward others. And I want you to pray for it. Pray for the filling of the Spirit of God. Pray for the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart. Pray that our hearts should be knit together in Christian love. And as a result, the world will know that we are His people indeed because of the presence of godly love. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for these moments in the Word of the Lord. I thank You for Your great love toward us. And oh God, if You loved us, we can love others. So, Father, I just pray that you'd help us each day to come before the throne of grace and say, Lord, I want to die to myself today, and I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And Spirit of God, I want you to produce the fruit of yourself in me, the love, the joy, the peace, and God, that it be shed abroad in my heart so that the people of the Lord would know that we're knit together and we have the love of our Lord Jesus Christ to shine all about us. God, you can do this. Pray that you would. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 5:7